Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so glad you're with us today. We are in the second installment in a series that we've just entitled Boundaries. And the idea behind the Boundary series is this, is that I need boundaries to help me live my daily life. And today, my message is entitled that boundaries are good for us. At my house, we've got a childproof gate at the bottom of the stairs, and we've got another one at the top of our stairs that we can put in whenever our grandkids come over. We got 2-year-olds and other things that have learned to walk and they have learned to run, okay? And they climb up those stairs and perform all kinds of death-defying acts if we don't prevent them. How many of y'all think it's a good idea we have those childproof gates on the stairs? Yeah, okay, for the sake of our kids. Did you know that God gives us boundaries too for our good? He does. They'll protect us from evil. They'll help us establish margin in our lives. They'll help teach us self-control. And they'll even help us say no to good things so we can say yes to better things. If all that sounds interesting to you, that's what I'm talking about today. You're going to find this greatly encouraged. Prepare to be encouraged. Okay? Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I thank you for your word. It's our guide in all matters of faith and practice. Today, Lord, I pray that you will guide us in how we set up boundaries. Boundaries are good for us, Lord. We can't handle all things. We can't do everything. We can't say yes to everything. We're limited in our understanding. We're limited in our resources. We're limited in our strength. We're limited in our time and our wisdom. And so, Lord, today we seek wisdom from you. So I pray that you will speak and move me out of the way, Lord. Teach us what we need to know about boundaries. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Now, I want to remind us the way we're defining boundaries for the series as dividing lines that clearly define our identities, our responsibilities, and privileges. Boundaries help us manage our lives and maintain healthy relationships. They help us manage our lives. A big hobby of ours is managing other people's lives. We'll get to that a little later. We're very interested in that. We're very clear on what you need to be doing, okay? Or I'm clear what you need to be doing. You're probably clear what I need to be doing. But the truth is, God's word talks about helping us manage our own lives. So let me start with this. I'm going to give you a few reasons why boundaries are good for us. First one is this: boundaries protect us from evil. Boundaries protect us from evil, just like they protect my kids from falling down the stairs. Maybe you've heard these sentences before. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. How many of you have ever heard those sentences before? From the Lord's Prayer. Lord, don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Guess what you prayed for? Boundaries. So you could stay away from temptation and not get into evil. Oh, that's what I was praying for? That's what you're praying for. Let me give you an example of a biblical boundary. A great example of a biblical boundary that protects us from evil is this. It's 2 Timothy 2:22. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. I remember the first Bible study I was ever in college. I gave my heart to the Lord, went to a Bible study, was studying the Bible with guys in this group, and we got to this verse it was part of a Bible study we were doing. This verse was part of a Bible study on purity and other things. And I remember at that time, in my dorm room, I had a big stack of pornographic magazines. And one of the questions that came up, do you have any of this stuff in your possession? And I said, yeah, I do. And so the leader of that Bible study came over to my dorm room. We wrapped brown paper around the whole thing, tied strings and twine around it, took it down to a dumpster and chunked it in. Never go back. We had an accountability time for each other while I was in college. I still have an accountability partner about all that to this day. I don't ever want to go back there again. This is a good boundary. This is a fantastic boundary. This will save so much heartache. Oh my goodness. David had an affair with another man's wife. You've probably heard this story. To cover it up, he had the man who was a soldier in his army killed in action. Arranged for it to cover it up because the woman that he had an affair with became pregnant with his child. He wanted to cover up the whole thing. Adultery led to murder, and it all started because he didn't run from sexual sin. Samson, the strongest man in the world, was undone, no matter how strong he was, because he couldn't get a prostitute out of his mind by the name of Delilah. Solomon had all the wisdom in the world, but was foolish in one area. Had a gigantic harem, and he said all the women that he entertained eventually led him away from the Lord. Let me read it again. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Could we just read that out loud, please? Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Don't walk. Run. Instead, enjoy this, what we're doing here. This is so important. This is one boundary in one area. The Bible has all kinds of boundaries with our temper and our tongue and our finances and our relationships, instructions on how we need to stay away from things that would keep us from being bad parents, instructions on how to be good parents, all kinds of things. Oh, that's why we turn to God's word, and he gives us these boundaries to keep us from evil, to deliver us from temptation. I mean, that's why I had to get rid of all that junk. Well, can you resist it if it's still in the room? Well, yeah, but how much better if it's just not there? And if you don't struggle with this, let me get another illustration. If you're on a diet, don't hang out at Krispy Kreme, okay? Oh, I get it now. Okay, that's a bad place to hang out if you're trying to lower your calorie intake because it's fabulous stuff, but not if you're on a diet. Just because you can resist temptation, it's so much better to avoid temptation. It's easier to avoid it than to resist it. And boundaries help us just avoid the whole thing. Wisdom. Proverbs 4. Get wisdom. Develop good judgment. Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom. This is biblical wisdom. Don't turn your back on it. She'll protect you. Love her, wisdom. She'll guard you. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Did you know the Lord, not only when you come to Christ, not only did Jesus forgive your sins on the cross and pay the penalty in full, that's what we talked about at Easter, he did those things, but he said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you in heaven. And when everything's ready, I'm going to come get you so I can take you to heaven. We'll live in heaven forever together. It'll be amazing. And in between, he said, I'm going to ask my Father to send the Holy Spirit. He won't just be with you, he'll be in you, changing you, maturing you, which brings us to the next point, and helping us develop godly character. And this is point B. He's going to help us develop self-control. Self-control is this. It used to be called temperance in the old King James Version. Same word. It means the mastery of our appetites, our desires, our reactions, and our thoughts. I don't have to give in to all my appetites. I'll embrace boundaries and understand that, hey, this isn't good for me. I know I have a limited amount of time, a limited amount of wisdom. I can't do everything, can't eat everything, can't drink everything, can't say yes to every request, can't take all comers, can't. So I have self-control. This is called wisdom and godly character. God is working in you. If you have given your life to Christ, not only did he save you for heaven someday, he is growing you up as a Christian this day. If that's good news to you, would you say amen?
Amen?
Okay, this is what it's talking about here. First of all, let me remind you why self-control is so important. A person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. I'm in a city with broken down walls. Walls are boundaries. If you don't have any self-control, you don't have any boundaries. Say yes to everything. Take all comers. No problem. Haven't figured out if we can afford it. Haven't figured out if I have time. I'll just say yes. That's just not the way God wants us to live. That's painful. For the grace of God, listen to what God does want for us. Titus 2. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for us to redeem us from wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what's good. He is purifying us as a people so we can do what's good as we wait for him to return. Remember, he said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. When everything's ready, I'll come get you. Well, it's not quite ready yet. So until he comes to get us, the Holy Spirit is working in us, helping us say no to worldly desires that will ruin our lives, so we can say yes to the things that will help us become like Jesus. And every day, he's helping us do that a little bit better. That's why we need wisdom. Wisdom, because there's some of us have been Christians longer than others. And some of us have been through experiences that others haven't yet. So I can advise you on one thing, and you can advise me on something else. That's called church. That's what we're doing right now. We're talking about this so we can all understand, oh, that's the game we're playing. We're not just waiting to die so we can go to heaven. He's working on us now. Right. And to help us, he's given us boundaries. And he wants us to grow in self-control. Now, it's important here. I want to clarify something, though. The spiritual fruit of self-control does not come about through trying harder, but by surrendering control of our thoughts, appetites, and desires to and reactions to the Lord. And so the whole idea that we're talking about here is not this. I'm not telling you, hey, buckle down, try harder, control your thoughts, control your appetites. We can't prepare for everything. It's too hard. And the good news is we don't have to. God gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us. He's called the helper, the advocate, the counselor. And he comes to give us the desire and the power so we can live the life God wants us to live. Listen to what Paul wrote about this in Galatians 5. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Remember, we all inherited a sin nature. We were born with it. And between the time we're born and the time we surrender our lives to Christ, a lot of sinful habits, attitudes, and shameful thoughts, a lot of wrong thinking gets baked in. First service, somebody said, amen. I go, well, you weren't supposed to say amen to that. Okay, anyway, but it's true. Okay, it's true. And so what happens is the Holy Spirit then is working on us a little bit every day on our temper, on our tongue, on our lusts, on our appetites, on our thoughts, so we're not out of control. This is what he's doing. Listen now, Galatians 5. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, every part of your lives. I mean, a mature Christian has surrendered every part of his or her life through the years. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sin nature, the old you before you came to Christ, all those desires, wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, and you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love and joy, peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So though we battle with this, we're not battling in our own strength. As we surrender things to the Lord, he gives us victory. He gives us self-control. If this is good news, would you say amen? Amen. Yeah, listen to what Jesus said. I'm the vine, you're the branches. We went over this in January in our fruitful series. If you remain in me and I in you, then you'll bear much fruit. You won't just have a little bit more self-control. You're going to have a lot. If you keep surrendering your life to me every single day, even when you go through hardships and challenges, even when you fail and repent, you're still going to learn from it. I am growing you up. And every now and then we'll meet somebody that we haven't seen in 4 or 5 years, and they'll go, man, God has changed you. If that has happened to you, then when that happens, just say glory, hallelujah. I mean, it is wonderful to me. I met somebody after the first service that was here earlier this morning. They said, been sober 4 years. God has changed me. Praise God. Gave him self-control. He's not a drunk anymore. But God doesn't want us just help people quit drinking. He wants us to help quit God. He wants to change us so we stop gossiping and we stop losing our temper every time something bad happens, because lots of bad stuff happens. Wants us to have self-control in our marriage and self-control with our kids and self-control with our, so we don't work too much, we don't eat too much, sleep too much. He wants us to have self-controlled, godly, upright lives. That's what Jesus is talking about. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, the Holy Spirit is going to be working in you. You're going to bear much fruit. You won't just have a little bit of joy. I'm going to give you, over time, I'm going to give you more joy than you ever thought you'd ever have. I'm going to give you victory over these things that are controlling you, but you got to surrender it to me. That's what it means to come to Jesus. We surrender our sins and control of our appetites and our thoughts and our lives. Boundaries are good for us. Can we say that together? Boundaries are good for us. They really are. They protect us from evil. They help us develop self-control. Thirdly, boundaries allow us to build margin into our lives. Well, what do I mean by margin? Well, margin is the space between my load and my limit. Margin in our lives gives us more peace, better health, stronger relationships, and the availability to do important things, not just urgent things. Sometimes a graphic helps with this. The limit is the limit of all of my, this is, let's just say this is 24 hours a day is the limit. Well, margin is the space between what I put in my day and the limit. If I've got 26 hours worth of work to do in 24 hours, I have no margin. In fact, if I have 20 hours of work to do in 24 hours, I don't have enough margin because I need to sleep. If I put a load of 10% more than I'm earning, I'm spending 10% more than I earn every month, I have no margin in my finances. None. Well, I'll just use a credit card. That just makes the load heavier. You see how this works. This is not what God wants for us. He wants us to have space between our load and our limit, and boundaries are necessary for that to happen. We can't buy everything we want to buy. We can't do everything people want us to do or we may want to do. We got to say no to a lot of things so we have margin. You know what margin is called? Margin is called peace. Yeah, listen to a couple of Bible verses that talk about this. God doesn't want us to be overloaded. This is C1 there. God doesn't want us to live overloaded, stressed out lives. So what do people get in this life for all their hard work and anxiety? Their days of labor are filled with pain and grief. Even at night, their minds cannot rest. And this was before Twitter. This is amazing. It's all meaningless. Even at night, I can't rest because now I don't have any control over my thoughts because I got to worry about this and that. Maybe if we don't pay this bill, we can pay that bill. Maybe if I should have never said yes to this, but I did. And maybe there'll be a thunderstorm and they'll call off school. Oh, I hope so. Oh, dear Lord, please let there be a horrible tornado. And that's not a good prayer. I'm not suggesting that. But this is where we get in crisis mode. I'm just trying to make it through the day. I have no peace. Here's another one. It's useless for you to work so hard from early morning to late at night, anxiously working for food to eat. The Lord, because for God gives rest to his loved ones. God gives rest to his loved ones. Can we say that together? God gives rest to his loved ones. Well, then why am I not experiencing it? Well, have you overloaded yourself? He doesn't want us to do this. He doesn't want us overloaded financially. He doesn't want us overloaded with commitments and time. Doesn't want us overloaded carrying everybody's emotional burdens, all the friends of our lives. Oh my goodness, we're carrying burdens for everybody else. It's like, whoa, 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 time out. I need some time for myself here. I need some space. I need some peace. I need some quiet. Because if I have margin, then I have peace. I also have better health. Stress is a killer. This is stress. Blood pressure goes up. Can't sleep right. I mean, you can take years off your life because of stress. It's true. I mean, it's a big problem in our culture. But it's not just that. If you have margin, if you and I have our margin in our lives, we have better relationships. Doesn't matter how much I value my marriage or how much I value my kids if I don't have any time to spend with them. Oh yeah, do you value marriage? Yeah, do you ever see your wife? No. What difference does it make? And you may never have thought of this one either. This is availability. What do you mean by that? Well, I mean the Lord telling you, hey, I would like for you to go pray with someone. I'd like for you to go help at this homeless shelter. I'd like for you to lead a Bible study. I'd like for you to go on a mission trip. Well, if I have margin, okay. I'll do that on Sunday afternoon. I'll go to that prayer meeting on Monday night. I got time. No margin? No, Lord. No, don't put that on my schedule. That'll ruin me. I mean, you see. How can I say I want to be used if there's no place in my schedule where I can be used? Here are a couple things we need to do about it. Point two, we build margin in our lives by pruning our schedules. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Moses, Psalm 90. Job 14. Our time is limited. You've given us so many months to live and have set limits we cannot go beyond. I have a limited amount of time each day. I have a limited number of years on the planet. I have a limited number of years when my kids are at home. I have a limited number of years that I have with my spouse. I have limits. So do you. I have a limited amount of income. I have a limited amount of intelligence. I have a limited amount of patience. I have a limited amount of strength. I can't do everything. So we have limits. And we have to say no to things. We have to prune our calendar. You know, I was talking with a young woman not long ago, and it was just so interesting because I have prayed for this young woman before, but she had just gotten so organized on some things and was working out and was getting some things done and improving herself and stuff. And I said, okay, so what did you do differently? And she said, oh, I took an audit of where I was spending all my time. And I got on the phone and looked at how much time I was spending on social media, and it scared me. So now I limit myself to 1 hour of social media each night. I don't even pick up my phone till after I'm done with work and after I've had a workout and after I've gotten things done around the house and I've got these things. I've done my Bible study and my prayers, and I've done that, and I've gotten so much victory in my life. She said, I was wasting so much time. Sometimes the load we have here isn't even stuff that's important at all. It's cat videos. I mean, it could be anything. Here's another one. We build margin in our lives by living on a budget. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. I mean, a budget, just like looking at your time, and let me just show you a couple things here. A budget is just a strategy to get you from where you are to where you want to be. I mean, it's just a strategy. So if, this is where I am now, this is my goal. This is where I am, this is where I want to be. And so, let's just say I'm picking on time before I do money again, or before we talk about money again. So if I have goals for time with family, time with God, time with church, time at work, time with the community, okay? Well, what would that look like? How many hours would I spend on those things in a month? Right? Well, then where are you now? And sometimes I go to those people and they go, well, I'm in a mess. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about take a time audit and start writing, this is how many hours I spend on social media. This is how many hours I spend sleeping. This is how many hours I spend working out. This is how many hours. Where's your time going now? You're spending time now. Or if you put money in here, well, how much do I spend on rent? How much do I spend on clothing? How much do I spend eating out? How much do I spend on car payments? Add it up. And then, because you're spending money now, well, where do you want to be? What's your goal? Now look, if you need help with this, contact us. We have people in this church who are experts at helping you with time. There are people who are experts helping with money. And we do these things. This is how we help each other. Does that make sense? You're not alone. And by the way, when we come to Christ, we're admitting we came foolishly before. We came messed up. Well, selfish ambition, selfish desires, making us fools with our money and our time and our temper and our tongue and all the other places too. So we all come in messed up. Can we agree with that? This should be the one place that's a safe place. Hey, my finances are a wreck. It's like, okay. I mean, sometimes people go, John, you just don't know how messed up my life is. Well, I think you're a filthy, rotten sinner headed straight for hell, so let's start there. Oh, okay. Well, I guess you do understand me. Yeah, we all come in that way. So if that's our starting point, this should be a safe place where we can say, hey, I'm not doing well at this. Can you help me? Sure. Then we figure out a schedule. We figure out a budget to get us from where we are now to our goal. That's what we're doing. That's the game we're playing. Why? Because if I do this, these things help me build margin in my life. So I have more peace, better health, better relationships, and more availability for God to use. That's the game. Fourthly, we build margin in our lives by delegating and trying to do everything ourselves. Sometimes we can get more space because we just put too much on our plate. We won't let anybody else handle it. This could be at work, could be at home. Moses' father-in-law came to visit him. Moses had received the Ten Commandments, was leading the children of Israel on their way to the Promised Land, was working all day long, hearing all the people bring every single case of concern they had in front of him. And Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, said this, Moses, you're going to wear yourself out, and the people too. This job's too heavy a burden for you to handle it by yourself. Select from all the people some capable, honest men, fear God, hate bribes, appoint them as leaders over groups of 1,000, 100, 50, and 10. Let the leaders decide the smaller matters themselves. They'll help you carry the load, making the task easier for you. If you follow this advice, and if God commands you to do so, then you'll be able to endure the pressures, and all these people will go home in peace. This could be if you have a company and you've overcommitted and won't let employees handle it. Could be at Christmas if you feel like, oh, I've invited the family home, but I have to prepare all the meals and have to do it all myself and nobody else can do anything in the kitchen. I'm going to be up all night, every night, suffering for Jesus and Merry Christmas. Yeah, Merry Christmas. It's not what God wants. Remember, if we delegate, peace, health, better relationships, more availability. Build relationships into our lives by minding our own business. Show me one place that says that in the Bible, John. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business. Well, why would that give me margin in my life? Can you imagine if we cut out all the conversations in our life that had to do with the neighbor's marriage and the neighbor's kids and the boss's way he uses his time and the way so-and-so leads this and so-and-so mows their yard and this and that and the other thing? Can you imagine how much time we'd save? Amen. Well, there are a lot of amens on this one too. Okay, that's good. Oh, we'd save time. And lots of stress, because then we can have peace when we see them. We don't have to, when they walk up on a conversation at the grocery store, we don't have to stop talking. Yeah, that's always awkward, isn't it? Walk up on people and they stop talking. Wonder what they were talking about. Us. No more guilty conscience. No more staying awake at night going, Lord, I shouldn't have said that. No. What if we could cut that out? Sixthly, we build margin in our lives just by saying no. Jesus put it this way in the Sermon on the Mount, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. He was talking in the context of making vows and stuff. I swear on a stack of Bibles, I'll help you with that. I swear on my mother's grave, I'll do it. I promise, I will. No, none of that. No stack of Bibles, no mother's grave. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. But saying no is important. And this brings us to the last part here, because boundaries help us say no to even good things so we can say yes to the best things. So please don't email me that cat videos are evil. They're not. They're not evil. They might be a good, funny cat video. But if it keeps me from spending time with people that I love because I'm watching videos, you see, this is better. Okay. Well, how do we know what the best things are? Jesus told us, Matthew 22:36. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? And Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, heart, soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. That's number one. He also gave us number two. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law, demands of all the prophets are based on these two commandments. So we know number one and number two. These are the two most important things we can invest our time and resources in. Loving God with our heart, soul, and mind. Jesus said so. Well, John, who makes you an authority on this? I'm not. I'm quoting Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. He is an authority. He's our Lord and Savior. And he said these were the two most important things. Secondly, love my neighbor as myself. So here are three things that I think fall out pretty clearly from that and how boundaries help us. Good boundaries will ensure we have time to spend with the Lord. If number one is to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I have no margin and no time to read my Bible and pray, then I'm only giving lip service to that. I don't have time to meet with the Lord. When's the last time you read the Bible? I don't know. When's the last time you spent 20 minutes in prayer? I don't know. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? No. I mean, how could it be true? Listen to the way God wants it to be. This is David, Psalm 27:8. My heart heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. The Lord is inviting you to come talk to him at any time. If one of my sons puts one of my grandsons on a FaceTime call and they say, Pop, come see me. I go, I'm coming. I'll be there. And do you know that the God of the universe loves us a million times more than I love my little grandchildren? Secondly, good boundaries will ensure we have enough resources to joyfully give to the Lord's work. God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you'll always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Oh, I think that charity's great. I think what the church is doing is great. Oh, I wish we would start this. I wish we could do that. Hey, can you contribute financially? Not a chance. Where'd your money go? Are you saying golf clubs are bad? You saying golf clubs are evil? No, they're good if you can afford them. You saying eating out is evil? No, not if you can afford it. Now I have no money to help the poor, no money to help the church, no money, none. I don't even have a budget. I don't even know what we're spending. We need boundaries. Thirdly, good boundaries will ensure we have time and resources available to genuinely love our neighbors. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what's wrong. Hold tightly what's good. Love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in your confident hope, in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Always keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. How, Lord? I don't have any time or any money. I can't even afford to keep the roof over our head. How am I going to bring anybody in for hospitality? Lord, I don't have any time in my schedule. I don't even get enough sleep at night. I'm dog tired because I waste all this time. And so God, how am I going to have time to pray? And how am I going to have time to think about anybody else? And if you're there right now, that's why God brought you here. Surrender it to me. Give it to me. I'll help you. I'm not only preparing a place for you in heaven for someday, I want to help you grow up and become mature this day. I want to give you self-control. You don't have to be like a city with broken down walls. Come to me. If you are weary and heavy laden, come to me. That's what Jesus said. This is what he means. This is part of it. Will you pray with me? Lord, I just want us to surrender every part of our lives to you. I asked when I started this that you would teach us about boundaries, and these scriptures make it clear that boundaries are good for us. We're the ones digging in our heels. We're the ones pretending we have unlimited resources. We're the ones pretending we have unlimited time and unlimited wisdom, and we do not, and you know it. You didn't even ask us to do all this stuff. Forgive us, Lord, for our selfishness. Forgive us for our laziness. Forgive us for times, Lord, when we've been totally unrealistic. If the Lord spoke to you about something, about your money, your time, boundaries, self-control, whatever today, protection from evil, would you just silently, right where you are, just say, Lord, I heard you. Lord, I'm coming. In the name of Christ, we pray these things. Amen.